traveling done, we come back and you don't need our life story because we've gone through that on the business side of the podcast. But in effect, we then started getting into property, started reading, podcasting, all these sorts of things, decided to then build up passive and recurring income through property. And that was all thanks to traveling because of the amount of time that we had. We started talking a lot about how we could repeat these experiences without having to do the extreme back and forth of work. And yeah, that's what we're in the process of doing at the moment, at the time of recording. And, you know, that will continue probably for the rest of our lives. Property is one of those things that once you're in it, unless something disastrous happens, you're probably going to remain in it, I imagine, for a very long time. But this episode isn't about that. This is top things that we learned from traveling. These are in no particular order. These are things that we think that if you don't already know these things, then you should know these things. And they're quite useful for a variety of reasons. Yes, we understand technology's changed, you know, even in the last, you know, 8 or 9 years, but it is what it is. The first port of call, do not look like a tourist. I know sometimes that can be difficult, depends on where you are, who you're with, whether you have a tour guide with you or anything like that. But don't look like a tourist. Don't flout all your wealth. Don't flout, you know, everything you've got on you. Try and be as plain as possible. The reason for that is you're making yourself less of a target. Yes, you've got to be careful of, you know, pickpockets, you know, all these little minor scams and whatnot. That's just having common sense. But don't make yourself look like an absolute tourist. Keep yourself to yourself. Don't be too flashy with your gear. Don't be too flashy with your stuff. Number two, always look like you know where you're going. Even if you don't know where you're going, always look like you know where you're going. There's been times in our travels where we haven't actually known where we're going, but we've walked around with a purpose. And the fact that we've walked around with a purpose means that we've not really been bothered too often. Yes, we've had run-ins with people with guns. Yes, we've had run-ins, other run-ins that, you know, haven't been mentioned. That's more people trying it on. And yes, it helps if there's two of us. And again, you know, rugby build type guys. So, you know, we're going to get less hassle than, say, you know, a single woman would get hassle. But always look like you know where you're going. In order to do that, you shouldn't really be carrying a map around too often. Or certainly don't get your map out, because that just, that's, you know, and that's almost like a worldwide symbol for help me, I'm in the middle of nowhere, help me, help me, help me. But what I would say, if you're an observant person, take heed of a couple of locations, a couple of landmarks. Do you recognise where the plaza is? Do you recognise a church, for example? Do you know that, you know, if the mountain is in the north, can you see the mountain? If you know where that is, you know, can you make your way up there? All of these sorts of minor things that you can just pick up as you go around. But if you always look like you know where you're going, the chances are you won't get stopped by people. If you get stopped by people, again, chances are they're perfectly nice people, they're perfectly willing to help. Sometimes you just don't know though. So always look like you know where you're going. This one's mentioned in a lot of Lonely Planet guides. It's also something you shouldn't do when you're in a place. Don't mention prices or cheapness to the locals. Now, what I mean by that is remarks like, oh my God, that's really cheap, or, you know, oh my God, I could buy loads, things like that. It's a reality in the world that some places are going to be more expensive than others, but also it could be quite insincere. It could be quite rude to mention how cheap things are to the locals. Sometimes you just have to accept the price for what it is, even when it's working in your favor completely. You know, we had that certainly in Bolivia, certainly in Argentina with the peso, you know, with dollar azul as well. In our head, mentally, we're walking around supermarkets, looking at restaurants, in our head going, holy shit, that's cheap. Even just saying it to one another. But we wouldn't say it to the people, you know, in those countries, in those places, because it can be quite a disrespectful thing to say. So if you know that something's cheap, then great, keep it in your head. Of course, if you have to haggle for something, you're in the market, then haggle away. That's a different gravy. But don't go mentioning prices and cheapness to the locals. It's not a very nice thing to do. It can be a bit of a sensitive issue for people as well. So just keep that in your head. Keep that in your head. This one, I feel a bit hypocritical for saying this one, but it is important. Number four, heed the advice of locals. Now, in our time of traveling, I would say that 90-95% of tips that we got from locals, whether that be local people, local tour guides, people in the hostels, etc., etc. 90-95% were fantastic pieces of advice. The key bits of advice that we remember were, especially in Cartagena, when we were told explicitly, do not go out and accept drugs off the street. Or if you're trying to have a beer, do not go out and accept drugs. You're going to get into a lot of trouble. Thankfully, we didn't get into any trouble at all because we didn't do that. But remember that kid that came in crying because he had almost been ambushed into handing over a lot of cash and had to get escorted out of the back door of the hostel that evening. Heed the advice of locals. If they're telling you about local places to visit, local things to see and do, places to eat, etc., chances are they're going to be very good recommendations. Yes, there was a couple of times we didn't heed the advice. You know, people said to do X, Y, and Z, and we didn't. But the majority of the time, we accepted what other people said, and it worked out perfectly well. Number five, learn the local language. If you're going somewhere, please, please, please don't be that person that just expects everyone to speak English. I mean, I know you're well within your right to do that. Don't get me wrong, if you go to an English-speaking country, of course, you're entitled to think that everyone is going to speak English. That's absolutely fine. That is the only exception to the rule. But if you're going to Spain, or you're going to France, or you're going to Latin America, you know, try and learn some language, you'd find that you get treated, we found you get treated in a much better way if you're able to converse in the local language. Okay, yes, when we were in Bolivia and you know, places like Paraguay, Quechua is the principal language, or Guarani, as the case is in Paraguay. Yeah, we didn't learn those languages because even by Lonely Planet standards, there's a universal acceptance that people will understand Spanish if you speak to them in Spanish. Now, sometimes people don't like that, but that is what it is. So again, I feel a little bit bad saying learn the local language, knowing that we didn't go round and, you know, our Portuguese wasn't great when we were in Brazil, and, you know, we didn't learn any Guarani or Quechua. But our Spanish, by the time that we had been there for quite a while, our Spanish was very, very good. And we always had this funky triangle where my speaking of Spanish is much better than Aaron's, but Aaron's listening and understanding of Spanish is much better than mine. So we'd always end up having a three-way conversation anyway, which I think might have amused the person that we were trying to have a chat with, dealing with two of us. But, you know, peas in a pod, it worked fantastically well. But we are certain that there were times where understanding the language really helped us. Also, in around Latin America, there's an assumption that you are American. Sorry, you're from the United States. Don't be that person. That's not something we wanted to be associated with. I don't think a lot of people in a lot of Latin American countries look favorably on the United States of America, their policies, and sometimes their people. That's a bit out of our remit, I have to say, but again, the minute we said we were English, that actually worked incredibly well in our favour. And also, again, attempting the language, very useful, because it probably got us out of a few sticky situations just by the fact we were able to converse and sort things out. Number six, eat in local places. It's very easy when you get away that, you know, you might come across a McDonald's. You know, not all the time, but it does happen. You might come across a McDonald's or, you know, KFC or whatever, and you might go and eat in there. That's not, to us, that's not really traveling. That's not really getting the experiences that you need to get. You know, eat in the local markets, eat where local people are doing. Follow, again, we keep referring back to the Lonely Planet. Follow a Lonely Planet guide. You know, these people that write these guides are incredibly experienced travelers. They know what they're talking about. The recommendations are always good. Try and submerge yourself into being as local as you can. That goes on really to hand in hand with point number seven. Submerge yourself into the culture as best as possible. Sometimes you are going to stick out like a sore thumb, and that might just be down to the colour of your skin. That is what it is. But yeah, try and get involved as much as you can locally. I'm not going to lie and say we tried as much as we could, because we didn't, because there were times where we just wanted to blow out in a hostel. You know, for example, the Wild Rovers, you go in there knowing that you're going to get a few nights of decent drinking, you've got a bunch of tourists, and you can share stories with other tourists and gringos, blah, 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 blah. But when we could, we did get ourselves into culture as best as possible, staying in some, you know, random hotels, staying in, you know, eating at local markets, taking local transport, etc., etc. We find it's a good thing to do. It also helps to improve your language skills too. Number eight is, I've written down here, know the exchange rate, but also have a relatively decent grasp of mathematics. If you're traveling for a long period of time, the chances are you're going to be doing it on a budget. So you're going to want to know roughly how much things are costing. For example, a couple of the countries, after we'd done dollar azul in Argentina, we'd worked out that we were getting 22 pesos to a pound. Happy days. That's easy division when you're, asking to pay for stuff in local currency. Sometimes the main denomination is dollars anyway. So again, at the time, it's about 1.3, 1.4, I think. It might have been 1.6. Anyway, dollars to a pound. So again, a quick bit of mental maths. In places like Bolivia, it was about 10 or 11 bolivianos to a pound. In places like Nicaragua, I've got a feeling it is about 60 cordobas to a pound. The reason you need to know roughly what the exchange rate is number one, so you can add things up as you go along. Number two, again, if you work into a budget, you don't want to be unnecessarily overpaying for stuff as well. So always have a good idea of what the exchange rate is, what's going on. At number nine, last one on the list would be to take a variety of cards with you. So what we mean by that is that getting currency out in foreign countries can be a pain in the ass in terms of cost. Our wonderful banks, and don't get me started on the wonderful banking system of the world and how much they rip you off. But, if you want to access your own cash, you're going to get charged no matter what. If you're in a foreign country, you're going to get charged. We found a way around this, and there's two things that we done. Number one was sometimes we were told of free ATMs, which was really handy. At the times, it saves a couple of dollars. We both had a credit card on us that was exchange rate free. So you could buy a bus ticket, for example, with the card, and it would just be a straight transaction, basically. So you wouldn't get like your foreign interest charges, or you wouldn't get your foreign currency exchange charges or anything like that. That's really useful. Always paying local currency as well. So even if you get the option of, sometimes you get the option of, would you like to pay for it in, your local currency, or would you like to pay for it in dollars, or would you like to pay for it in local currency? Always go for local currency. You're going to get a better exchange rate. And this is how it was before we started traveling. The wonderful Norwich and Peterborough Building Society, I don't think they exist doing the debit accounts anymore, but their debit account at the time was wonderful because it was pretty much the only one where, again, you wouldn't get charged foreign exchange rates if you used your card abroad. And you also wouldn't get charged for withdrawing your own cash unless the ATM told you there was a charge. So I think we both had one of them as well. So there was a lot of flexibility there. There were a couple of times where we had to use our sort of more traditional debit cards. Again, wasn't ideal, but there were a couple of times where you had to use that. But as far as I'm concerned, if you've worked hard for your cash, you've earned your cash, you've saved your cash, you really shouldn't be getting charged an arm and a leg to take it out. I think that's a bit naughty. But then again, don't get me started on the banking system. I'll go into Tyler Durden mode. Hopefully you get the Fight Club reference there. So they're really the key things we learned from traveling. There's a lot of generic advice there. So just to summarize, top things we learned from traveling, top things that you could use next time you're traveling. And number one, don't look like a tourist. Don't really wear flashy items, bits and pieces like that. There's no need. Number two, always look like you know where you're going, even if you don't. Remember, try and find a few landmarks, familiarize yourself with them, and head down, look like you know where you're going. Number three, don't mention prices and cheapness to locals. It's quite a rude thing to do. If you know something's ridiculously cheap, chances are, if you're in a different part of the world, they are going to be relatively cheap. Just don't mention it to the locals. Keep it in your head. Keep the thoughts to yourself. Number four, heed the advice of locals. So if local people are telling you to go and try this restaurant or try this hostel or different things like that, listen to them. Chances are they're going to give you a very good recommendation. Number five, learn the local language. Again, it's got us out of a few situations, we think, because we knew Spanish. Number six, eat in local places. Yeah, don't just give in to loads of Western culture all the time. Don't head around to your McDonald's and fast foods, or try, at least try not to, especially when you're in a wonderful place like Latin America. They've got a great food culture themselves. You know, once in a while, yeah, it's understandable, we all do it. But, you know, this is how we like to travel. You know, get yourself in there as best as possible. Eat in local places, speak to local people, etc., etc. Number seven, submerge yourself into culture, as best as possible. And again, you know, do as many things as the locals do. It's a really good way to, you know, integrate yourself. Number eight, know the exchange rate. So keep, especially if you're budgeting and you're seriously budgeting your trip, you're going to want to know what's costing what your expenses are. You know, and bear in mind that as you go from country to country, they're going to have different currencies. They're going to have different exchange rates. So keep your eyes open for what they are. And finally, number nine, take a variety of cards with you. So do take, find the most cost-effective credit and debit cards that you can. You know, there are, you know, I'm sure people nowadays will be paying in Bitcoin or things like that. So, you know, that's cool as well, especially if you're heading over to El Salvador. So that might change. But again, at the point of saying this is, you know, if you've got a couple of cards that won't charge you for using your card abroad, that's fantastic. If you're away for a long period of time, you'll find that will save you quite a bit of cash. And again, going back to point number three, if it's going to save you quite a lot of cash and the place you're in is relatively inexpensive, you know, that cash can, you know, easily be a difference between a few meals and a few beers, maybe a little bit more over a period of time. So, nine top things we learned from traveling. We're gearing up now for the World Cup. But before we do that, the next episode is going to be myself reminiscing over the most recent trip to Mexico when we went round the Yucatan again, but this time going to different places. So join me next week for Yucatan Part 2. Hasta luego.